It's going to be for the kids. I just really feel burdened from the Lord to have something for all the children that are with us this evening. Of course, we're all children in one sense, young and old alike, but I really thought I would like to share something for all the little children with us this evening. And it's a story that has really been good for me. And for those of us that have our Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 1. I'd like to read one verse there. And oddly enough, one of the things that will seem a bit strange about this, but this will be the story of my dog, Otto. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Let's pray. Our Father, again, we thank you this evening for the authority of your precious and powerful word, eternal. And we would ask again tonight that we might just be able to have our hearts quieted and that we might hear from you, that your word would become very precious and very real to us in our hearts, our minds, our wills, and through it we would give you glory and honor. We pray you would meet needs by revisiting, for those of us that know you, areas that we've known for a long time, but for the wee hearts and the young ones, we ask for special help tonight, that these things would be taken home to their hearts and made precious as they are to us. We ask it for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the reasons I like this verse so much is because God has, as I mentioned this morning, done a wonderful, beautiful job of revealing himself to his creation. And he does it through a whole host of different things. I enjoy that about the Lord. And the older that you get, the more you begin to look around and you begin to view things and see things, you understand God is very, very careful about every detail in creation. It's just wonderful to know that in everything he works and that he moves and that he speaks. I appreciate 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And for the child of God in particular, those that are willing to know more of him, he is willing to speak and to reveal himself. I think that's very precious. We're very blessed, aren't we, to have someone, and not just someone, but the very King of the universe, take that kind of an interest in you and me. This is going to seem a little odd, but recently, about a year ago, I purchased a dog. My other dog died, and I wanted a new dog. Now, you're going to say, for sure, boy, John Heller has definitely gone to the dogs when we're done with tonight's message. But this has been such an object lesson to my own life, and I've been thinking about the purposes in everything that God creates. Even the mosquito has a purpose. I'm still working on that purpose, but God created the mosquito for a purpose. And one of the great joys that I had in considering the selection of a dog is that this time I really wanted to take my time and pick a dog I wanted. So I went to a lot of pet stores, went all over the Little Rock area. They don't normally sell dogs anymore like they used to. You have to go to a very specialized place where they're very careful to make sure that it's not a puppy mill or it's sort of a just a run of the mill type of situation. And so it was hard to find a place where I could locate a good puppy. And see, I love puppies. I don't know about you, but there's just something about a little puppy bounding across the floor, looking at you, wagging his little tail with his little beady eyes. I just don't know what there is about it. Others of you, you know, you just enjoy it when a fish jumps in your boat and you're just going, you know, look at this. I've seen these guys, they have these big fish. There they are. They got this big old fish just dripping with fish oil and fins and scales and everything else. Others like him, you know, they like to go out west or even around here and they like to kill Bambi. They love Bambi so much they want to bring Bambi home and, well, they want to mount Bambi on the wall there so they can stare at Bambi all the time. Well, I enjoy dogs. It's wonderful that God can take even the simplest of things. And one of the reasons I'm going through this is because the verse is very clear. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen,
being understood. That word by would be correctly rendered also through the things that are made, so that even his eternal power and Godhead are known, and that the world is without excuse. So God is speaking. And so as I went on this journey searching for this new dog, I had a lot of things in my mind that I thought I'd like to have in a dog. And I went through that process, and then I went into different pet stores and I looked them over, and I remember going into the particular pet store that I had purchased my dog Otto from, and I went in and I looked at all the puppies. And there were big puppies and little puppies and in-between puppies, and some were yapping like this. Some were sleeping. Some were fighting. Some were playing with toys. It was just an amazing atmosphere of activity going on in that little pet store. When I found the dog that I thought I wanted, I went and I looked at all the other dogs, and I presented myself to all the other little puppies in the store because I was looking for one thing. I was looking for the puppy that would respond to my presence. See, I'm a soft heart when it comes to puppies. My wife can be thankful that I didn't have enough money because I would have bought all the puppies and brought them all home. Whether that's practical or not, that's another thing, but I love all the puppies. So, Otto is a miniature schnauzer. He's a little tiny guy, but he's a man's man, little dog. You know, he's got that nice British little beard and thick, furled eyebrows, bushy eyebrows, and he's just got that distinguished look. You want to see him? Okay, I thought maybe you would, so. I don't know whether this will show up very well.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww.
Well, there he is. And that's Otto. Now, one of the things that I really appreciated about all of the different things that went on in the pet store as I began to think about this is I began to think about when I would pick Otto up as a puppy, I would turn him around on his back and hold him up like this and look at him. And you may think, oh, boy, you are really, ooh. But I'd look at this little creation, I would say to the Lord, Lord, what did you have in mind when you made this little animal? You see, he makes nothing as an afterthought, and he makes nothing as a filler. With the Lord, everything has a purpose. We can read too much into it, but we can also read too little out of it. And so I would just say, well, Lord, I sure appreciate this little creation. And here's the difference in the beauty of God's creation. Here's the danger. It's just the heart goes out and absorbs the beauty of his creation and thinks nothing of the Creator. This is wrong. Doesn't matter what it is. God has given us all things as his children, richly to enjoy. But they are not so that we would consume them in and of ourselves, upon ourselves, but so that our hearts would rejoice in the manifold goodness of God. Our hearts would turn to him and say, Lord, you have a purpose in this. Thank you for it. And we look for that purpose. We look for those ways in which the Lord has permitted us to enjoy things. You know, your tongue has taste buds on it. Your nose has the ability to smell and to take in different odors. Some are not so good. Most are good. You have the ability to see. Most of us have the ability to see. Most of us are able to enjoy colors. When we think about these things, we have to understand and agree with the Lord. You know, the Lord created us with the capacity to enjoy his creation. But the danger is, as it is with those in the world that have no heart for the Lord, is that they worship the thing that God has made. And they have no thought about the Creator. They have no thought in their minds about how this relates to him, the one who is the architect, the builder, the consummator of all things, the upholder of all. So I was thinking about this. I began to realize that there were some very simple but profound truths that the Lord could teach, even through a pet. Whatever it might be, if a heart was willing to see it. And so when I thought about this, I thought about the reality. You know, Otto has taught me some lessons. I'd like to share a few of those with you tonight. Number one, the thing that God spoke to me about in the process of selection was some very, very wonderful truths in Scripture that the Lord has given concerning his creation. When we think about whether or not any of us are meritorious of salvation or not, whether we deserve to be saved or not, we have to take the conclusion, no, by rights, by sinnerhood, by my own wicked rebellion against the Lord, I don't deserve to be saved. I really deserve to be in hell. But God, in His infinite mercy, God chooses to put His love upon us. He makes a commitment to us, and I think there's something very important in this particular passage of Scripture that's been referenced up there. Deuteronomy 7:7 says, I didn't choose you because you were great and mighty. I chose you because you were the least of all. And it's not because you were the least, but because I wanted to show you my covenant. I wanted to show you my grace and my mercy. And I was thinking about the time when I picked Otto out of the litter. He was the tiniest of the run. And I wasn't even thinking about this at the time that I selected Otto as a puppy, but he was the tiniest pup in the litter. He was the run. And when I think about Otto, and I think about what it was about Otto, he was the only one out of the litter. I presented myself to everybody in that litter, and they were nice-looking dogs, great dogs, a lot of spunk, but they had no time for me. But Otto came right up. He saw me, and I made the effort. I called out to the puppies. I said, here, boys, or here, girls, whatever they were. Their little tails were just bobbing like this. But Otto's tail was really wiggling like this, and he came, and he ran up to me like this, and he said, he presented himself to the response that I was looking. And I think of the beauty and the simplicity, though, of what God has done. It's complicated beyond measure if finite human beings try to comprehend it, and yet it's so precious and so simple. To the person who responds, to the person who chooses the Lord, to the person who takes the Lord at His offer, He proves Himself committed to that individual. He has chosen to set His love not upon the great and the mighty, but God has a heart and a mind not only for the great and the mighty, but He has a heart and a mind and a will for the tiny and the little and the insignificant. And everyone in between. That's so wonderful about the Lord. One of the other things that I learned about Otto as I was watching him come along. Now this is just standard in our home. He's a house dog, by the way. He goes in the house. He stays in the house. He's going to get baths if he stays in our house. I tell you what, there's nothing worse than a stinky dog in a house. And if you've never had a stinky dog in a house, you don't know what it's like, but it's terrible. And people sometimes that have stinky dogs in a house, well, they let the dogs bring the fleas and the ticks and all the other things in the house. And it's not a real enjoyable experience to have a dog with fleas in the house. One of the things that I begin to instill in my dog, and this was just part of the training process with him, that every time I would want to give him a bath, he would run. It's just intuitive knowledge. Dogs don't like baths for the most part. They hate them. And any time that I wanted to take care of Otto or clean him, he would run. I remember in the springtime in Arkansas, in the oak trees, they tassel out and they have these tremendous little pollen tassels. And when they drop to the ground, they're all over the place and they are a tremendous mess. And every time Otto would go out in the backyard, he'd pick up a load of these things. They'd be all in his little fur and then he'd want to come in the house and play around. Well, I have tremendous pollen allergies, and I can't take his pollen being in the house. So I would take Otto and I'd come after him. I always get that little brush out and I'd try to brush his little legs like this. Whenever he'd see me, he'd go running. And I often thought about it. What is it that Otto doesn't understand? Is he afraid of the brush? Or what is it about Otto that he doesn't like to be cleaned up? But one of the marks of the relationship that I have with him is that there's regular cleaning. It's very important. And we understand this from the particular passage in John. And when we see this, John chapter 13, we begin to be reminded of the simple but yet the obvious need that we have to have regular cleansing. And I think this goes back to something I mentioned this morning that is maybe a little bit tough for us as we consider the beauty and the blessing of God working in our lives. This is that oftentimes when we talk about the cleaning and the time that we need to be in before the presence of the Lord and confessing and letting the Lord come in and speak to us, we look at it in the sense of, oh, I've been a bad person. Oh, shame upon me. Oh, how terrible I've been. And really, one of the great marks of a child of God is that there is cleansing going on and that there is an active part of that cleansing by the Master to the one that belongs to the Master. And so in John chapter 13, in verse 4, we read the scriptures. He rose from supper, laid aside his garment, and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into the basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. And again, we understand the blessing of this is that the Lord was teaching that there will have to be regular cleansing, not for salvation, but for the enjoyment of fellowship. When I think about this cleansing process, though, I realize that it's the Lord that's cleansing us. Yes, we participate in it, and we understand the responsibility to respond to Him, but it's the Lord that cleans us. And in a similar way, one of the things that really spoke to me as a pet owner was that whenever Otto would go out and get himself all dirty with those oak pollen tassels and all the stuff he'd pick up out in the backyard, and I'd like to have times when I would enjoy petting him, I would go get him so that I could enjoy him and clean him up, and then we could have time together to play and learn tricks and to do things together. One of the things that I appreciated about Otto is there came a time in his life as a young puppy where he realized I wasn't out to hurt him. And every now and then when I'd set him up on the table and brush him, and I'd just illustrate this to you because I thought this was kind of interesting, he would stand still. He would just sit there like this, and whenever I'd move around to the back leg to comb it out, he'd begin to lift up his leg like that for me. And he'd just hold it out there until I was through brushing it clean. And then I'd move around to the other side of him, and he'd pull that leg up like that on his own and hold it out there and let me brush it. And what I was beginning to realize is that he understood this was not a mean thing that I was doing to him, but I was initiating it. And I was initiating it for the purpose of the enjoyment of fellowship. And so when we talk about these passages in Scripture as believers, yes, there's a certain sense of remorse, there's a certain sense of grief if we're participating in ongoing sin, but you know, the ultimate end of it all is not so that there can be a shaming or a condemning of the believer, but it is so that that individual can come into the good of the relationship. And folks, I just want to emphasize again tonight that, you know, regardless of everything that you and I hold to and believe in principle, precious as it is, if it's founded on the Word of God, we must bear in mind that the ultimate goal of everything that we are and have is to a relationship. That is the key thing. And I think what sours and dulls many believers is we lose sight of the fact that it's a personal relationship that God has called every one of His people to. And you show me the people that are in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll show you a people that are really zealous about the things of God. And it's not zeal in the sense of legalism or duty or I have to. And I'm not saying there aren't times when we must just pull ourselves up and for the sake of carrying on do things because maybe we don't feel like doing them. But the real goal in the life of His people is that there's relationship there. And I'm talking about believers growing in their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's what I'm interested in my relationship with Otto, is just that, a relationship. I like the dog, and I want to be with the dog. Now, infinitely far more so, the Lord has used expressive language in Scripture to time and time again repeat to us that He's interested in personal relationship with every one of us. Take Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. One of the reasons I love that verse so much is that word everlasting is one of the most powerful words in the Hebrew language. It means a love from eternity past that transcends through time, going all the way into eternity future. In other words, that eternal love is a love that the intent of it on the heart of God is that there should never be a break in it. That is intense personal relationship, and it is designed for the brawniest, meanest, toughest guy all the way down to the tenderest, delicate flower of a woman. And the beauty about the Lord is that He knows how to fill every need adequately in every single individual, but the bottom line is relationship. Folks, I am simply drawing an analogy to the reality that oftentimes it is just too easy for us sometimes to slip into the day in and day out of life and not recognize afresh that this cleansing process on a daily basis is really something the Holy Spirit is initiating. And He is really after it because there is a call from the heart of God the Father for fellowship with us. Isn't that immense and amazing? And we ought to be shouting about that and thanking our God that He is dealing with us every time a thought enters in, or an action, or a deed, or an atmosphere of bitterness, or whatever the case may be. God is after that thing, not to shame us in it, but to pull us to Himself. Folks, you'll find no matter what you accomplish in this life, you'll find that the number one goal of your whole existence will be to that end of personal relationship with Him. That is it. Yes, there's lots that comes as a result of it in productive service, benefit to the body of Christ, help to the lost world, but the ultimate goal is that one-on-one relationship. I often think of it too in the sense of, as I look around and I think about this dog of mine, I think about him as my master. I want him teaching. I want him to learn things. And young boy and young girl, one of the things that you're going to be learning in your life, and especially those of you that have put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the value of learning to be obedient. Not so that you can say you've done everything right, so that you can enjoy the benefit that God gives through obedience. It's not a meritorious thing that makes us better. It doesn't make us look better. It doesn't give us any more worth, but the benefits of growing in obedience are so, so precious. Now, there's positive training and then there's negative training. And I do this with Otto. There's positive training and there's negative training with Otto. Let me give you one of the negative trainings. When I got the dog, I brought him home. And if you work for PetSmart, I'm not coming after you, okay? This is not a statement about your job security at PetSmart. But I went into PetSmart after I bought Otto. And he was just having trouble learning to go do business outside. And I would go in there and I'd say, now Otto, no, bad dog either. And you gotta go outside. So I'd put him down and put him back in his little cage, and then I'd wait for a few little minutes, and I'd take him outside, and I'd say, okay, Otto, go potty. Well, I went to PetSmart, and I was talking to one of the people there, and they said, oh, sir, don't ever give your dog negative training. It's only positive training. I said, oh, positive training. Yeah, reinforce that little mind to do good with positive things. Never say to him, bad doggy. So, Well, I guess the little guy, that's where I'm going wrong. I'm not being positive enough about it. Well, boy, I'm telling you what. He was sure having a lot of business in the house, and I wasn't quite sure how to get that outside of the house. And I got real frustrated with it. I mean, every time I turned around, there was a little something on the floor. And I was cleaning up, spraying all the, and they say, well, put him in his little cage and then wait. And then the minute you take him out of his cage, take him outside and he'll go to the bathroom. Well, that didn't work for Otto. I put him in his little cage, waited, took him outside, walked, I said, all right, go potty, Otto. Let him out. There he was, run around all over the yard. He'd be out there 15, 20 miles, and my neighbors probably thought I was absolutely crackers. Go
go potty.
I was yelling it to him. So there he was, just running around out there, going, you know, brought him in the house. Right there. So I was talking about this problem with somebody, one of the ladies in the meeting, and she looked at me and she said, "Pardon me, Mr. Heller. Have you ever heard of rolling up a little newspaper and going over and getting your little dog's attention by whacking him on the nose every time he does that little no-no on the floor?" I said, "Really?" She says, "Yeah, try it." So I went home, and he started doing that business, and I went, "Bad doggy auto." Well, within a week or two, he was trained in that. And young people, sometimes children, boys and girls, sometimes moms and dads train you, and it seems like it's really harsh. Doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair. But it's for your benefit. It's to teach you the value of obeying. Now there's times when I want, in the negative training aspect, it's for his own benefit. And he did this to me one time. And this is one of the areas that just scared me half to death. I went over to the chapel property one evening to help do some work over there, and I took Otto, and I thought, "Oh, I'll let Otto out here, and he can just kind of run around." We have a couple of acres there, and it's a nice open area. I let him out. It was a busy street on the road. Where do you think he went? He made a beeline. He, like he was possessed, just running like this for that street, and I'm going, "Ah! Otto! Otto! No, no!" And did he ever listen? No. Just, I don't know how he did it, but cars were coming like that, and he went right through them and went over to the other side of the street, ran up right next to the garage door and sat down. And then here I am, you know, thunderous, blubberous, running across the road there. "Ooh, come here!" And I run up to the garage door there, and there he is. And I look at him, I said, "What on earth?" I'm like he's really understanding all of it. "What on earth did you have in mind, Otto? Where were you going? You know, why didn't you stop?" The negative is for his own protection. Now there's positive training. And that's why I love this verse. 1 John 2:5 tells us, "Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him." You know, if I didn't care for that dog, I wouldn't train him. What mark of care would there be in that dog's life if I didn't care? I mean, you've seen dogs that their masters don't care for them. You've seen what's happened to them. They either are coward messes where their tails are always between their legs and they're swiveling like this, or they're raving maniacs. And they'll attack anything that looks at them cross-eyed. The mark of love is training. The mark of God's presence in the lives of his people is training, and love is truly perfected. The love of God is truly perfected in the hearts of his people. And that's a mark of relationship. And boys and girls, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, you can expect him through your parents right now, through the Sunday school teachers, through other people in life that you're going to come into contact with. And as you grow up and you become an adult, it will be fellow believers in the meeting here. It will be your employers. It will be elders. It will be older family members. It may be the circumstances and the vicissitudes of life all working together in the ultimate purpose to bring you to that place where you learn the value of obedience. There's positive things that I train him to do. I'm training him to sit. I say, "Sit, Otto, sit." And then I give him a little biscuit. I reward him for it. Now he can sit, he can lay down, shake hands, and roll over. Now I'm trying to get him to give me a kiss and bark. And you might say, "Oh, that's kind of silly, John." Well, yes, it is silly. But when the little children from the meeting come over to my house, I want them to see something of the order of God in creation. And I want them to stand and marvel and see God working through little creations like that to know, you know what, in all of what God has made, there are lessons for us to learn. I want those little minds to be thinking about the Lord. And I like to use those as opportunities to speak to little boys and little girls, because sometimes there's nothing that gets the attention of a child more than a little animal. So there's practical benefit. There's other aspects to it. I want him to be a good watchdog, and he's a good watchdog. He's a mess of a watchdog, but he's a good watchdog. He's a yappy dog sometimes, and I'm training him not to be a yappy dog. You know what a yappy dog is. Hey, shut up, you know. And then there's times when he gets, you can tell when he's really out of control. He sees a cat out in the front yard, and he doesn't go, rah, rah, rah. He goes, like that. I don't know what it is. He whines like a little woman. You know, he's a man.
That's what I got him for, you know. Fellow compadre in the house there, but
he does. He just, he's in there gooing and gone. I don't know what it is he's going through in his mind. But I train him in those areas so that he is enjoyable and he has the enjoyment of being trained. One of the things that I've also noticed, and this is indicative of relationship, is that when I first got him, he didn't desire to be with me. When I brought him home from the pet store, he wanted to run all over the house. He didn't want to stay where he was supposed to stay. He wanted to be everywhere he shouldn't have been. And one of the things that I realized about little Otto is that as the older he got and the more he began to realize that I wanted a relationship with him and I was training him, I really cared for him, he began to get to the point where he'd like to be with me. And I think one of the things that oftentimes when we think about the Lord and we think about our growing, and boys and girls, you're going to find this the older you get, those of you that know him, there is, because God has put it in your heart, there's going to be an increasing desire to want to be with him. And that grows with time. And as we get on in our walk with the Lord, we grow more and more and more to where, you know, it isn't the big events of life that really capture our hearts. It is him that captures our hearts. It is Christ that we long to be with. We long for him. And we long to enjoy him. We long to see him revealed in Scripture. We enjoy when people share things in the Word of God. You know, there was a day in my life when people talked about the Word of God as an unbeliever that I thought, man, they people are crackers. They talk about Jesus all the time. You know, one of the blessings that I enjoy, and I enjoyed it this morning. I happened to walk in on a conversation, and two brothers talking about the glory of God, and they were sharing some of the things that they had discovered. And my heart was blessed just listening to them. I didn't have to say anything, but I was blessed because it's about him. And our hearts are drawn towards him, and we long to be with him, and we enjoy his company. The only time my dog doesn't enjoy my company and doesn't want to be with me is when he is boo-booed. When he's done something wrong, and he knows I know it. He's okay if he thinks I don't know about it, but the moment he knows I know it, he gets that little, and he runs. And sometimes we're a little bit like that. And oh, the joy of anticipating being with him and enjoying his presence. Every time I get my keys to rattle, he goes to the front door. He used to play the little sad sack trick. He'd get in front of the door and he would hope I'd take him with him because he loves to ride in the car. He gets in front of that door and he lays down and he just looks at you like this. Well, are we going? We're going for the big ride in the car today? Am I going with you? You know, there's just any time. Sometimes when I'm out, I have a little study out in my backyard that I built. And every now and then he'll come along and he'll put his paws up on the glass like that. And he'll go, and then he'll look at me. I know what he wants. He wants to come in. And he doesn't want to just come in and walk around. Sometimes he wants to come and jump right up on my lap. It's just kind of like he's looking over what I'm studying. He'll look at me like this and he'll look back down like that again. And then he'll hop back down and go back outside. And the older he's getting and the more he recognizes that I like him, the more he longs to be with me. And I'm thinking about it from the sense of what the psalmist said. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God. Young person, one of the great joys that you're going to discover if you know Christ as your Savior is that the Holy Spirit of God is going to give you a longing to be with Jesus. Even now, as a young person, he's going to create a desire in your heart to want to be with him. You're going to look forward to the day when you're going to see him, but you're going to learn how to enjoy him now by faith. Even though you can't see him with your eyes, you're going to learn he's right there. And you're going to learn to enjoy him. And that's what he wants. He wants you to enjoy his presence. And I appreciate the psalmist being very, very candid here. My soul longs, it pants, it hungers and thirsts for God. I also appreciate this in the sense of how that when God works in the lives of his people through the Word of God, We begin to understand who he is. We recognize his voice. We have an appreciation for the Word of God. The Word of God grows in its importance in our lives. And I tell you what, one of the things that I am appreciating the older I get is more and more and more I need the Word of God as an older man. You know, when you get old, your body changes and your mind goes in and out sometimes and things happen in life. And the only rock-solid reality that there really is in a person's life is the beauty of God's Word. The older I get, the more I recognize there's a greater sense of responsibility for me as an individual to bear the knowledge of the Word of God in humility, that I know it and I pass it along to others and encourage others in it. There's the need to reinforce the Word of God in my own walk. I want to know what is of God. I don't want to follow the wave of what's popular now, what's happening next. I want to hear the voice of God Almighty, and the only way I'm going to do that is to be trained to understand it through the Word of God. You'd be surprised how quickly sometimes we're moved away. You know, what impresses me about this relationship that there is between the dog and myself is that whenever there's a lot of people around and there's a lot of voices going on, all I have to do is go auto like that once, and his little ears just go like that. Just like that. And I thought to myself, man, am I like that with the Lord? When the Word of God is presented in front of me, do I hear it like He does when I call His name? And I thought, you know, I want to be sensitive to the Word of God. I'm not talking about emotional sentimentalism, oversensitivity, sort of a false sense of, oh, I heard God's voice. We are talking about the value of God's Word, really hearing it with the heart, to the point that it grips us, to the point that isn't just something that we hear with the mind and it passes through, but it's something we grant entrance into. I've always appreciated Ephesians chapter 6. Sometime when you read it, well, let's quickly turn there. We're almost out of time, but we have time for this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. When we think about the Word of God, and we think about the power of the Word of God, there's two words in the New Testament that I like to focus on right now. There are others, but these are the two primary words that are used in the New Testament to describe the Word. And that one is logos, the other is rhemos. Logos is the entire revealed canon that we have for us. It is expressive of the Lord Jesus Himself. It reveals who He is. He is the Word. But when we talk about the written Word, it is the entire written Word that we have before us this evening in our Bibles. The Bible doesn't contain God's Word. The Bible is God's Word. That's logos. And it's effective, it's powerful, it's convicting, it's authoritative. We are all under it, whether we recognize it or not. We are all under the power and the authority of the Word of God. Now, when we get to Ephesians chapter 6, we see the word rhema used, and it's very important that we look at this just for the sake of contrast and understanding the difference. I'm going to read this in its entirety just because I think it fits, so just bear with me. Verse 11. We won't comment on the whole thing, just one verse, but we're going to start at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And it's that word right there that in most cases in the New Testament, when you read that word, it's translated logos. Here, it's rhema. And there's an important distinction between logos and rhema. They're one and the same. You can't separate rhema from logos, but rhema is precious in this sense. Rhema is the actual individual unsheathing of the Word of God to a believer to a very specific need. For instance, if when I'm reading Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the grace of God, or the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I happen to be a person who is hung up on doing something to merit God's favor. God is going to take the Word of God, which is Logos, that whole thing, but He's going to make Rhema for me, which will be, it's not of works. And it's the Holy Spirit that comes in and grips me. It's just almost as though I can hear audibly His voice, even though there is no audible voice. But it's the power. It's the demonstration of God's Spirit. It's so real to me. And to every child of God who is under the authority of the Word of God. And that's what we want. We want Logos. Praise God, He gives that to us. But there are specific times when we're going through something or we're in a need, and God will take a scripture, and it is just like, boom! The doors blew open, and it's like, wow! That was as though the Lord Himself spoke to me specifically in my need. And that's what is meant by the value of the scripture in John when it says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they know me. It's not some emotional thing. It's not some esoterical thing. It is very living, very real, and very powerful. Otto also knows my voice when he's been a bad boy. I say, bad boy, Otto, bad boy. And he hears that voice too. But he knows that not from the perspective that I'm giving him a negative downer. He knows he's getting ready to participate in something he doesn't need to participate in. And it's really a mark of love. It's a mark of care. It's a mark of ownership in his life. I don't want him to get messed up in it. And it's the same with us. There's blessing in that and benefit in being able to hear his voice. I like this one. And you young boys and girls, as you grow older, you're going to find that the world is very tricky. And it's tricky in the areas of friends. And one of the things I've learned about my dog Otto is this. And I want to make this correlation, hopefully to the point that we understand that one of the great joys of coming to Christ is that our friendships change. Doesn't mean we don't love people who are not believers. Doesn't mean we don't have a vested interest in their spiritual well-being and even their physical well-being. But we learn that we cannot afford to chum up with them to the extent that we allow their values to become our values, because their values are going to pull us down. Friends that are not right with Jesus Christ are going to pull us down. One of the things that really spoke to me about the value of what I learned in this is just simple. I know these are not profound, earth-shattering things. But they're things that speak, and they have presence and effect. And that was this. I noticed that Otto likes other dogs. He does. He likes other dogs. Now, there's some dogs that are too cool for him. You know, they're big dogs. I'm a big dog. Like that, you see. So they don't have time for little Otto. They should, because they're all from the dog family. Okay? They all should get along. But sometimes there's some dogs that aren't, well, they're just not very nice. They're too cool. There's some dogs who just don't care. They're just out there living for themselves. You know, all they're worried about is the next bone they're going to find. They don't care about being friendly with other dogs. But there are a few dogs that enjoy being around Otto, and Otto enjoys it. But he's got an open heart to all dogs. Why? Because he's in the dog family. You know what I've noticed about Otto? He doesn't like cats. And he doesn't try to be friends with cats. Now, I'm not saying cats are bad. I didn't say that. We'll talk more about that later this week. And I notice he doesn't go out and he doesn't try to be friends with squirrels. And he doesn't try to be friends with birds. He's certainly interested in them, but they're not his friends. What I think is so funny is there's a big old boxer on the backside of our yard. Big boxer. And one of the funniest pictures I think I've ever seen of Otto is that whenever he knows that big boxer's in the backyard close to the fence line, he's sitting there by the sliding glass door, and every now and then I hear him go, ooh, you know, that means somebody's out there and I really want to go see him. So I'll open the door and He goes out of that back fence, puts his paws up on the fence, and there's a little crack in the fence, and his little ears up like this, and he's just doing this number. Just wants to see that other guy who's supposed to be one of his compadres. He's just doing this. And then he walks along. It's a wooden fence, so he can't see through it, but he can tell where that other dog is, so he walks right alongside that other dog. Whenever that dog turns around, he turns around, and he walks right on back side down the same fence. And one of the real joys of relationship will be the joy of learning to be with fellow believers. Can't emphasize this enough as we see the day growing darker and darker. We are like sheep separated from the flock, open to the wolves' attacks in this day in which we live. You know, folks, every time you enter this place, every time you make a commitment to show up, whether it's Sunday night, Wednesday night, or whatever it is, for other believers, you know what you're doing, whether you realize it or not. I know you know this. But you're reinforcing the bond that the Lord Jesus has given all of us. You're coming in and you're making yourself available to say, hey, you know what? Well, this happened this week, or how are you doing, or what's going on? It is a readjustment from the exposure that we have in the world. And one of the real marks that draws us here is the Lord Jesus. And it's His bond of fellowship among us that we come in and enjoy. Even if, and I say this in the sense, even if we don't like the speaker, or the speaker is not particularly captivating in his presentation, or whatever the situation may be, ultimately we can all gather around the Word of God, and we can enjoy the presence of His Spirit in our midst. And we're encouraged that way. I often think to myself, John, you would become a wretched wreck if you ever left God's people. I never think for one minute I could stand alone. I need the people of God. And if you're a child of God, you need God's people. And then finally, with this I close, He knows He's loved. Now you'd say, well, how do you know He knows He's loved? Well, we didn't know this for some time until we began to notice something about Him. And if you were to ask anybody in our family, we would tell you that dog is spoiled. Really, I'm waiting for my children to have grandchildren. So the dog's just filling in time for me right now until I get the real joy, and that's my grandchildren. But one of the things that we've appreciated about this little animal, something about the beauty of God and just the simplest, and yet it's not all that simple, of His creation, is the obvious impact that care and attention goes into a person or a little animal like that, and the amount of security and peace and comfort that is derived from it. Like I said, when I first got him, he was just a little puppy, friendly, but there was not a lot of bonding. There was not a lot of relationship there. But the more time that there's been in that relationship, and the more that he has understood that he is cared for, the more he begins to relax in that. He's not as uptight. He's not as nervous. He's not as fritzy. He's not all wild and crazy. He's becoming more stable and more restful. Now, there's times when we like to get him stirred up. He runs around the house and, you know, he's got his little animal in his mouth and he's running everywhere and we get him all going like that and he's barking, you know, and he's jumping and all that. That's fun. But you can tell an overall change in his demeanor. You know how we knew it? We caught on one day. We like to pick him up, everybody in the family, and whenever he is kissed, we noticed something. He would invariably yawn. Well, we didn't think anything of it for a while. But we noticed every time he was picked up and held close, he began to yawn. And we couldn't figure it out. It's kind of, you know, at first we thought, oh boy. Oh boy. And these poor humans, here they are. They just don't understand a thing, do they? I could care less. No. We began to realize that what he was doing is that he was basking in it, and that actually, we think he's probably relaxing. He's kind of taking it easy.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Now, whether we're crackers or not, that's fine. Well, you can think anything, whatever you want to. But we'll tell you this, you can't mistake it. He's kind of become a creature of habit. Every night, he wants to come up, and as I'm reading or resting or relaxing, he likes to come up and he likes to lay on the bed and he likes to lay down next to us. And every now and then he'll just stare at me, just look at me like this. And then every now and then he'll lean over and with his little mouth he'll just start licking my hand. Now he knows he's loved and he rests in that love. And this is one of the grand realities of relationship. That's why I stress so much this evening that it is all about relationship. It is all about the Father communicating to you, if you know Him, how much He loves you and all that He's doing in your life. Sometimes we see the big things and there needs to be a vision. We have to have that vision. There has to be doctrinal accurateness. There has to be things that are to be done. But above it all, God says, the greatest reality, the greatest call, the greatest priority that I've called you to is a personal relationship with Me. And I want you to enjoy that relationship. That's what it's all about. So when we see these things, we begin to recognize as the famous scripture of old that we quote sometimes forwards and backwards and inside out. We love Him because He first loved us. And remember when I was with you 2 years ago for the first time, I spoke on the eternal love of God and I said this, and I just want to close by this tonight. You will do for love what you will not do for the law. That is a mark of relationship in the lives of His children. I'm not saying there aren't times in which we do what we need to do, either because we're motivated out of the fear of the consequence of it, or the fear that we should have that we're going against a holy God, and we do not wish to incur His displeasure. But folks, the overall abiding rule of the Lord is this. He has taken out His wrath at the cross. And now He calls us to grace. This is the beauty of Romans 6:14. For you are no longer under law, but under grace. Doesn't mean we throw out the law. It doesn't mean that we don't have a regard for the Word of God. It just simply means that this law means that when you sin, you're condemned, you die, and you're judged eternally for it. The principle that we're under now as His children, we're under grace. And grace doesn't give us a license to go out and live like we want to. Grace says when you fall flat on your face, you're free to get up and have another go at it. And regardless of how many times you fall down, the mark of God in that relationship is to get you back up and to keep you going. And that's the mark of love. So I'll say it one last time. You will do for love what you would not do for the law. The law constricts, it condemns, it binds. The law frees. And the true law of God is the grace of God that it applies now to all of His children. Yes, there's times when there's harshness, there's times when God chastens, there's times when God corrects, but you know, beloved, even in the chastening times and in the correcting times, it's all about His love. And it's toward you and toward me. Father, we want to thank You tonight that You're pursuing us. Thank You tonight that You're turning on the lights brighter and brighter for us in Your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, we comprehend, Father, that You are very intent on individual, personal relationship with every true born-again believer. We thank You for that, Father. We thank You tonight with our whole being that You are pulling us away from ourselves. You are constantly turning us away from self, and You're turning us to gaze the beauty of the Lord Jesus Himself by faith. And we pray tonight, even though we have read a verse out of Romans 1:20, we do begin just ever so slightly to see that even in creation, Your great beauty and Your great power is revealed. Even in the things You have made. We know that that's not a complete revelation of who You are, but it's certainly a little window that helps us understand. And then You take us to the authority of Your written word, and Father, You reveal Christ to us. We thank You in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.